The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello, welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt. My name is Mark Walton, sitting in the presenter's chair for this edition, and I'm joined in the studio by Punt regular, Mr. Lee Phelps. How are you, Lee?
I'm good, thank you. Excellent.
Good. I hear that I was drafted in today because DK would have been insufferable. The smugness, I hear, would have been off the chart.
No, he'd have gone the other way, wouldn't he? He'd have purposefully been unsmug.
Yeah.
And that would have been smug in itself. Just him not being smug would have been smug. So he's in the other studio presenting horse racing radio.
Yeah.
Look, he had a winning nap. I didn't for many weeks on the trot. You know how that feels. You're bottom of the horse racing naps table.
Oh, don't bring that up. I thought this was a safe zone.
No, it's a safe zone, but it's also a loser's zone.
Oh.
So let's wallow in our... But, you know, I'm a firm believer in that you get back up and you keep going.
Yes.
So on we go.
Yeah, it's not about how hard you can hit, it's how many times you can have a losing nap and get back up again.
Indeedy. And I have been called midweek maestro before.
By yourself.
By myself. So let's hope that that midweek we have some luck.
Right,
just to stick up for myself, I did have some winning bets.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
So, you know, like, I had Everton-Chelsea draw. I had Aguero to score two or more. You know, Stoke-Arsenal draw. I had some winning bets. It's just I keep picking the wrong one for the nap.
That's the
It's trouble. Annoying.
That's the trouble with naps. That's
it is. It well, so you know, Kelly, you know, who you're stepping in for, he picks one bet a week. You know, we have to pick 10 a week, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's a tough game.
Oh, allow me to get the world's smallest violin. Before we get stuck into, we're going to look ahead to the FA Cup matches, the FA Cup third round replays this week. We've got four games to look ahead to, the ones that involve the Premier League sides. Before we get stuck into them, though, Lee, big weekend of Premier League football once again. What stood out to you?
Well, goals. I mean, it was amazing. Up until the tea time game, over 2.5 was landing everywhere you could look. I mean, the home teams were absolutely smashing it as well, with the exception of the 3-3 draw that Chelsea and Everton shared. But yeah, I think interesting to see City. You know, people are saying it's, you know, that they're not that great and all the rest of it, but they're starting to put together a really, really impressive run now. 43 points, so 1 point behind the joint leaders Arsenal and Leicester. Obviously, Arsenal leading on goal difference. I think Arsenal will be pretty happy with a point away at Stoke as well. You know, it's somewhere where Wenger seldom wins, and seldom wins against Mark Hughes managed teams as well when he's at home. So I think it was a good weekend for Manchester City and Man United, of course, who put a bit of distance between themselves and Liverpool, who I think are probably the big challenges for Manchester United. There was only a few points between them before the weekend. Now Man United are 4-5 to finish in the top four, and Liverpool are 4-1. A few fans might think there's still a bit of value in Liverpool. 31 points, fourth place Tottenham are in 39. It's a big gap, isn't it? Eight points when teams are, you know, I know it's not the most consistent of leagues this year, but you know, it's hard to put together a winning sequence. But I do think anyone is so close, you know, around Tottenham, Man United. If someone can go on a run here, they could win the league. I think it's most likely to be City and Arsenal, if I'm being honest, but who are already, you know, getting themselves into pole position. But the other end of the table, I still think Sunderland to stay up is an interesting bet. The 3 points adrift of safety and Newcastle. Then there's another 2 points for Norwich and another point to Bournemouth. So, you know, maybe a little bit of a gap, but still getting 11-4 for Sunderland to stay up in the Premier League. Big Sam, we know that's what he kind of makes his living from. It's his bread and butter, staying in the Premier League. And I know, like, you may... They got beaten heavily by Tottenham in the end, but it's not their away form that's going to count here. It's, you know, it's what they do at the Stadium of Light, and I think they've still got enough in them to get away. They're not marooned, and I think 11-4 is a, you know, I think it's a fair price. They've been around that kind of mark for quite a while. Sunderland.
It's not just the home form either. It's beating the teams around them. They can expect to go and lose at Tottenham.
Yeah,
but if you beat the teams around them, and they improve their home record.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy running they've got by any stretch of the imagination. You look at, they are playing a lot of top teams at home, but we've seen from clubs who are really battling that you can put in the performance, especially in this division. I mean, you know, just to kind of be open about all this, they've got Bournemouth, Man City, Man United, Crystal Palace, Everton, West Brom, Leicester, Arsenal and Chelsea at home. So there's some tough games in there. But like I say, we've seen from relegation-threatened teams that, you know, that doesn't mean they can't win these kind of games. We've seen Sunderland do it in recent years. We saw Wigan do it when they survived that year, the year before they went down. So, yeah, I think looking at those relegation and staying up odds, I think Sunderland at 11-4 would be my bet there.
Yeah. I was impressed with Newcastle this weekend as well, by the way.
Getting better and better, aren't they?
Yeah, they're out of the relegation zone. I think Jonjo Shelvey has been a, well, if you take his debut into account, shrewd signing, because they've been a bit soft in the middle, haven't they? And he kind of showed that up. His passing was excellent.
Yeah, it was. And the Wijnaldum goal was a cracker, wasn't it?
Fantastic goal.
Just pinged it out. It was like something you'd see Manchester United of old score, where, you know, pace and they went great control, wasn't it, from Yanmar, and then the ball in was superb. I think you've got the sense, haven't you, that he's trying to build something there. I think slowly but surely, I think he is building something. It's just the consistency that they lack at the moment. But good heart to come from behind against Man United 3-3 last week. And then, good win. And they withheld a bit of pressure from West Ham as well. So away at Watford, away at Everton, next two Premier League games. So it doesn't get any easier, does it?
No. Tough enough. Should we leave it there?
Yeah.
Right, let's get stuck into the midweek action then. We've got FA Cup third round replays on both Tuesday and Wednesday. We're going to look at the Premier League sides in action, and we'll start with a televised game on Tuesday evening, which is Bristol City against West Brom. Bristol City are 13-5, the draw 11-5, West Brom are 11-10. Bristol City in the Championship, 22nd in the Championship. They're struggling. They've got to worry about relegation from that rather than the FA Cup probably. West Brom would be quite happy with where they are, 13th in the Premier League. They've become a hard side to beat under Tony Pulis, and I suppose he'd be a little bit disappointed if this has even gone to a replay.
Yeah, he would, wouldn't he? I mean, they're a funny team, West Brom, because really you'd think they should be going for it here. They shouldn't have anything to worry about in the Premier League, and that's easy to say. They're on 27 points, so you'd argue they probably need another 10 points to make sure they're safe again. Pulis doesn't go down, does he? So, you know, it's kind of one of those where you think, they should be safe. I always wonder whether he has to see safety first before he'll risk his team, you know, his first team, if you like, on an FA Cup run. The team he put out in the first leg should have been good enough to win the match. In the end, Berahino came on for Lambert, and he scored, and it maybe needed an injection of some, you know, quality to get past Bristol City. Bristol City, like you say, poor in the Championship, but then they go and beat Middlesbrough to nil. You know, no one's done that. You kind of think, what a result that is against the Middlesbrough team. Now, the problem as I see it here for Bristol City is that West Brom's away form, you know, we often say that Pulis goes to, you know, decent home sides and he just shuts up shop. I don't think they'll do that this time. I think they'll look to kind of maybe hit Bristol City on the counter. Bristol City with a home crowd and an evening match, I think we'll have a go here. Now, they've only scored more than one goal at home twice this season, Bristol City. Once was against Nottingham Forest, the other time was against Leeds United. When they were two down, right early on in the season, two down, they came back and scored, I think, at least one goal, which was almost at stoppage time, and the second one in stoppage time to earn a draw against Leeds. But they haven't got much firepower at home, Bristol City, and I think West Brom can outscore them. It just depends on who he goes with up front. Quite a few enhanced odds offers here. Aaron Wilbraham, who's their top scorer, is 7-1 to score and Bristol City to win in 90 minutes. Stefan Sessegnon to score and West Brom to win in 90 is 4-1. Interesting bets. I mean, I'm looking here. I think he should play Berahino. I mean, Berahino is a fantastic striker. Admittedly, he's got his problems, and we know he's a bit of a sulker and all the rest of it. But he's a better player than a 19-10 quote against a team in the Championship relegation zone. You know, the one thing you'd have to say about Bristol City is that, you know, that they concede goals, obviously. They're not down at the bottom of the Championship for any other reason. And, you know, he's got a great record in the FA Cup as Berahino. You remember last year he scored loads against Gateshead? Obviously, you might argue that he should, but he was scoring in successive FA Cup rounds. I just hope he starts here. And hope he kind of, you know, he's in the right frame of mind. If he is, I think 19-10 for Sedo Berahino to score is a decent bet.
Is that your best bet?
Yeah, I'll go with that as my main bet in the match. I think West Brom will win. But you could argue that why would a Premier League team be 11-10 to win at a Championship relegation team?
I think they're a good price.
Yeah. So, I'm not going to be greedy. You can pair them up if you want. Let's have a look at Berahino and the win. Is priced up at, that's a drum roll, by the way, that little bit there.
Superb.
Yeah, it's not bringing it in, is it? I'm imagining it must be 14-5. Sadio Berahino to score, West Brom to win, 14-5.
Yeah, obviously check the team news, but looks pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the other game on Tuesday evening. Aston Villa at home to Wickham. Aston Villa 4-9, the draw 100-30, and Wickham are 6-1. Wickham in League Two, currently sitting sixth in that division, take on bottom of the Premier League, Aston Villa. Although, shock horror, Aston Villa have three games unbeaten.
I know.
And they scored a goal.
It is a shock horror, though, isn't it? It's been like, all right, there's some life in them. Yeah, one of those games was against Wickham, obviously. The 1-1 draw, beat Palace 1-0. And then that 1-1 draw at the weekend against against Leicester. Look, that they are showing signs of having some fight about them. And, you know, the way... it's funny because the Remy guard seems to want to make them play football in a way that doesn't really secure your Premier League football. Kind of, he wants them to be playing the ball around and passing it, and you need confidence for that style of football. But there must be some confidence starting to flow through the team. The fact that they haven't tasted defeat now for a little while. And they should be able to beat Wickham, shouldn't they? Let's be honest here. Wickham, you know, playoff place in League Two, as you mentioned. I just think that they don't score bucket loads of goals away from home. Surely Villa, it's just whether they go for this or not and what team they put out. That's the problem here, because you'd be fully justified in thinking, why would he go for this match, the manager? I'm looking at the price. Listen, I'm talking without betting at the minute here. I think Villa should win the game. How can you back Aston Villa at 4-9 against any team?
I know.
Barring amateurs.
4-9 is an awful price for Villa.
You couldn't
trust them, could you?
You can't have a tenner on that, can you?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't feel confident at any point, would you, thinking, yeah, I'm going to go for that? So, you know, so it means you have to look at either the draw, 100-30, or Wickham at 6-1, just because of the prices.
Yeah. The one thing I'm thinking here is Remy Gard can't afford a bad result at home to a League Two side.
But does anyone care?
Well, people would care. If Wickham beat Villa, then it'd be Aston Villa in trouble again, Remy Gard on the verge of losing his job. Mm. The Villa fans wouldn't be happy. I think they'd expect to go to Villa Park on Tuesday evening and see the side get a morale-boosting win. And anything less than that, I think, is a big problem for Villa, even though they've got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. Yeah, I find it very difficult because, you know, right, even if you say Villa win... You know, you have to go then chasing some value from somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether that's match result and both teams to score, 11-4, big difference between that and the 4-9, obviously. I said Wickham don't score bucket loads of goals, but they do score on the road. Villa have kept three clean sheets all season at home, one against Palace, who aren't scoring goals at all. That was the earlier in the month. Remember they had the 0-0 draw against Man City when Man City chucked just about everything at them. I think it was when Remy Gard had just taken over, and the other one was against Birmingham, I think, earlier in the season in the FA Cup. So don't keep many clean sheets. Will be a bit nervy. If they open up and go for it, as you're suggesting, which I think they probably will, because there'll be a bit more confidence flowing through them, then I think it might leave some gaps for Wickham. So I'm doing what you're doing, really. I'm chasing the value, which is probably not the most the wisest thing to do. But I can see them conceding, and I can see them building on this run they've had, and going on and winning the game, but maybe only just. Maybe something like a 2-1. So yeah, match result, both teams to score, 11-4 for Aston Villa, but it's through gritted teeth, I must admit.
One player I think we should mention here, Lee, Micah Richards, who had a fine game against Wickham in the first meeting between the two sides, played at right back, which he hasn't done for a while, give him a little bit more licence to get forward. He seems one of the players at Aston Villa at the moment that's at least on a forward path,
yes,
in some ways. Could you consider him, maybe, if you're just trying to squeeze a different way out of hanging out a bit?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's, you know, it'd be some. It kind of happens like that, I suppose, doesn't it? I mean, to score in successive games might be asking a bit much in terms of the FA Cup. But then that is what kind of happens. Players kind of, you know, score against the same clubs, and then so yeah. I mean, I could, you know, you could maybe have a look at it depending on where he starts the game again. Yeah, I mean, 11-2 is a fairly big price, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd rather have a little bit of a little silly bet on that than
like
4-9 on Villa.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, that 4-9, it looks a shocker of a price, to be fair. So yeah, I see where you're coming with that. I mean, it might be one for in play as well. You know, the next live goal scorer, if you do see him marauding again and getting up and down that touchline, they struggled to cope with him last time, so why wouldn't they again? You'll get a bigger price than that probably on him to score the next live goal. In fact, you will get a bigger price than that on him to score next live goal. So maybe see how the teams line up first.
Yeah, interestingly, he hasn't got in the side in the Premier League, so no. It'd be a good chance for him to get back into into the way of things.
Yeah,
but it's hard. But what would you? What is Daniel, your best bet?
Aston Villa to win, both teams to score, 11-4.
All right. Moving on to Wednesday evening next, we'll start with Leicester City against Tottenham Hotspur. Leicester are 9-5. The draw 21-10. Tottenham are 13-8. It finished 2-2 in the first meeting between these two in the FA Cup. They also met subsequently in the Premier League. Leicester winning that game 1-0. And Tottenham will be a little bit disappointed with that, but they bounced back against Sunderland with a pretty impressive performance. So I think this is quite hard to call.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I think all three have been, in a way. All three of the matches between the two of them. You're right. Tottenham, I mean, it's interesting because when Tottenham lost to Newcastle unexpectedly, they bounced straight back and did a good job. Did the same here. Lost to Leicester and bounced straight back and beat Sunderland. It's tricky, isn't it? I mean, I've been looking at a few goal scorers. I mean, you know, Okazaki is a player who he gets himself into some really good positions. Scored at the weekend, scored in the game at White Hart Lane before as well. I think he's someone who's worth looking at, you know, depending on team news again. Riyad Mahrez having no luck in front of goal from the spot. Missed successive penalties, didn't he, against Bournemouth and at the weekend again. I do think, you know, Jamie Vardy's not having a lot of luck in front of goal, where everything that he kicked went in before, pretty much. So it might be worth having a look at him. I mean, he had that, I don't know if you saw the highlights, Mark, but he had that great, like, kind of looping effort, which the keeper managed to palm away, which gave Okazaki his goal at the weekend at Villa. So I think, you know, Jamie Vardy is now 7-5 to score at any time. It might not quite be big enough again. But, you know, I think the draw's big here in 90 minutes again. You know, the 1-0 win for Leicester came in the 83rd minute, looked like it was going to be a draw. I know the 2-2, again, the equaliser came in the 89th minute, so there's some late goals here between the two of them. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this went all the way. It's just that sucker punch. Leicester looked tired at the weekend in the last stages. You tend to see that Tottenham do keep going right till the end. All your goal time, you know, and your when the goals are going to be scored are under that goal time tab on the website. You know, you can bet the time of the first Tottenham goal, time of the first Leicester goal. You can also look at when the goals will be scored. I think it's a great in-play bet. I think, you know, once you get into the kind of post 70th minute, whatever the stage of the game is, I think I'd be looking in play at looking at, you know, getting on, you know, goal in the next 5 minutes markets. I think it'll be decent, that. But I'm going to go for the draw. I think it'll go right the way to extra time and pens, this one. I don't think there's much separating these two sides. Leicester have shown that they're happy to have a go in this competition. Why wouldn't you be? You know, you're top of the Premier League. All right, you might be believing still that you can still win the Premier League or get into Europe, but you've got to go for the FA Cup here. You can't not go for it. I think both teams have got a good chance of winning the FA Cup this season. Because I think Leicester will fall away in the league. But that means even if they fall away in the league, they've still got that team spirit. They've still got that kind of, you know, one-off matches will be great for them. You know, even if they're kind of drifting down the table a little bit, they can still pile everything into the FA Cup matches that they have. So I think both will be going for it. I think we'll see Harry Kane on the pitch. I think they'll both play strong teams again. I'm going to go for the draw in 90 minutes. I think Tottenham will knock them out on penalties.
Okay, interesting. Tottenham would, well, both teams would, but Tottenham obviously have a rich history in the FA Cup, and they've been kind of flirting with qualification for the Champions League and playing well, but not really getting any silverware of late. I think this would be a good shot in the arm for them, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, what are you going to win? Tottenham aren't going to win the league. Yeah, they couldn't get in the Champions League, obviously, this season. It's probably a great opportunity for them. But you've got to go for the FA Cup. Tottenham should be a team who are in the semi-finals of the FA Cup most seasons. Whether the manager goes for it and absolutely, you know, goes with his best team is debatable. But yeah, I think they both will, and I think they'll match each other in the 90 minutes. So draw, and if you're betting in play, look at a goal late on.
On to the final game we'll look at then. This is Liverpool against Exeter. Liverpool are 100-30 on. The draw is 4-1. Exeter are 10-1. Liverpool suffered defeat at Anfield against Manchester United at the weekend. They've had a few disappointing results, really, because before that they drew 3-3 with Arsenal. I suppose they'll be pleased with that, given that they were behind until the closing stages. But a 2-2 draw with Exeter in the FA Cup, he's not ideal, is it?
It's not, is it? It was a weird game to watch. I mean, you know, fair play to Exeter. Whatever, you know, everyone was saying after the match, oh, whatever the team Liverpool put out, it's still a great result. Well, it's, you know, you're playing Liverpool reserves. Let's not, you know, get ahead of ourselves here. But, you know, brilliant for Exeter. It did seem to me like a lot of the players were like, oh, yeah, that's it. We get to Anfield and we've done our job type thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think they'll go and express themselves and, you know, they'll play. The manager was saying that they'll enjoy the pitch there. You know, there was a lot made about, you know, the Exeter pitch. The fact that, you know, Klopp was, you know, bemoaning the fact that it was so bobbly and it was so difficult to play on. But, you know, same for both teams. Look, Liverpool, you know, you'd be amazed if Liverpool lost this game. It's going to be fascinating to see what team he puts out there. I've been trying to find out what, you know, will he do that again? I mean, he kind of said, well, they'll have to play again then, won't they? This team. In front of the Kop at Anfield? Be interesting, because that would be a leveller, because I think some of those lads will be almost as nervous as the Exeter lads in that case. I think he'll play a stronger team at home against them. And I think Liverpool will run out winners here. Again, you know, Liverpool, what are they going to win? Klopp had a good record, you know, in terms of playing his strongest team in the German Cup, and obviously had success with Dortmund as well in that competition. I think that, you know, German managers come into English football with a better mentality towards cups than some other nationalities. Like, for instance, your Italian Cup doesn't really get the... I mean, Coppa del Rey maybe, but the Italian, you know, Cup doesn't really get the same kind of prominence as your German Cup does. You tend to find Dutch managers don't seem that interested in cup competitions as well. So I think he'll go for it here. I think he'll maybe have learnt his lesson that you can't take teams like Exeter too lightly. And I think they'll win here. I mean, they're 100-30 to win the match.
130 on.
What did I say? 130. Yeah, that would be a great price. 130 on. Yeah, 3-10 to win the match. You don't know who's going to play, which I think is pretty tricky. I think Liverpool -2 at 15-8. Got some legs. I think if Exeter start to tire,
yeah,
late on, then I think Liverpool could win by, you know, by 3 clear. Depending on what team he puts out. If it's an identical team to the one that played at Exeter, I think this is a much harder game, and I wouldn't mind backing the Liverpool to win by a goal, which is the -1 versus Exeter +1 in the middle of the handicap column. That's 3-1 for Liverpool to win by a single goal. 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, etc. But if it's a strong team from Liverpool, and they owe Exeter that, by the way, they owe Exeter the fact that they put out a, you know, at least, you know, 5 or 6 first teamers. And if they do that, I think they'll get the better of Exeter over the course of 90 minutes, and they'll probably score 3, 15-8 -2.
Yeah, it's kind of trying to get in the head of Jurgen Klopp a little bit, isn't it? Because on the back of a defeat to Manchester United, which obviously hurts Liverpool, they need to bounce back.
Yeah,
they've got Stoke at the weekend, which is going to be a tricky game. It's almost like, do you rest the players to keep them fit for Stoke, or do you play them to breed a winning mentality and get back to winning ways?
They need to win the cup. Simple as that, isn't it? Why not try to win the FA Cup? I think he. All right, they had injuries and he put out a young team. I think he might have taken Exeter a little bit lightly and not quite realised how strong the divisions go down. Because if you look at the German Cup against lower level teams, you tend to find some pretty big scores. You know, and he's been the manager at Dortmund, and they're passing the ball around like you won't believe. You rip teams to bits doing that.
Yeah,
he's not got that with this Liverpool team, has he? And he's put out a lot of kids, and they've got away with a 2-2 draw. I do think he'll go stronger, but I've been wrong before. So if I am wrong and he goes with that same team, or pretty much that same team, then I'd be looking at a tighter game, a one goal victory for Liverpool.
Do you think both teams will score here? Can Exeter
if he goes weak again?
Yeah.
If he goes weak, yeah, I think they can score. I see no reason they won't be scared. They'll just go for it here, Exeter. You know, I think they'll do what they did in the first leg, and they'll have a go. No reason. They don't expect to go any further, I don't think, than their trip to Anfield. But if he plays a strong team and he was all about the defence and not marking on set pieces against Man United, then I think they'll keep a clean sheet. I think they'll win like 3-0 at home.
All right, best bet in there.
I like Berahino to score if he plays. I must admit, I thought, you know, I think that's a nice bet. Yeah, I'll go with that. I'll go with Berahino to score. I think West Brom will win as well. 11-10. I think Premier League team against a relegation threatened team, when they can sit back and hit them on the break, I think that's a decent bet as well.
All right, good stuff. Well, thank you very much, Lee.
Cheers, mate.
Good luck and enjoy the midweek FA Cup football.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.